Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School. We're in a series. The title is My People Are Destroyed for Lack of Knowledge. We are delving into God's Word and His performance throughout history . We are how shall I say, we are examining God's Word. We are seeking the truth of what God said. I struggle here because, you know, I wish I could speak for 10 hours at one time to attempt to bring a the word of art is a gestalt that is a full view of God's word to His people . In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." This Greek word is dikaiosune. It comes out of the Hebrew, which is tzedek, translated in the Old Testament righteousness, Greek New Testament dikaiosune, righteousness, the essence of which is keeping covenant. And in this series, we are attempting to demonstrate God's covenant keeping not only His ability to keep covenant, but His doing it. The whole purpose of which is designed to show God off, that His people may come to a point of putting more confidence in God and His promises than in their very own existence. This is faith. I have to tell you, since I started this series, I've had an awful lot of health problems. The promise of God is, I am the Lord that healeth thee, that with His stripes I was healed. And I'm not trying to give personal testimony, but testimony of God that in the midst of the circumstances where I find not the result of his promises, but the opposite, I'm encouraged more and more to stay on the promises of God for healing. I'm not asking why. I'm running to that promise. I'm doing it by the gift of faith. I'm doing it by having come to the understanding that God is faithful. Now, in this series, we are attempting to establish, contrary to tradition, that God saw his people, his chosen people, the descendants of Abraham, those he chose to be his oracle people, God saw them as two different people, as described in Hosea, house of Israel, house of Ephraim, house of Joseph, as opposed to house of Judah, the Jew, the southern kingdom. This is declared unto us in God's word, and in no way am I condemning, but I want to point out the church, for all intent and purposes, has missed this, which God so deliberately, so oft repeated. Has declared as two different people. Without that understanding, I got to tell you, all these end time prophecy preachers can't begin to understand those prophecies concerning the end times. Is the knowledge that we are sharing through this series necessary for one to be saved? No, it's not. But to the ones that God is saving, it should bring further confidence, further courage to continue on in this trusting relationship with our Father. And that's the purpose. Now, last time we were in the book of Jeremiah, we were in the third chapter. We were in the first chapter. We had talked about God appointing Jeremiah for all intent and purposes as trustee of the bankrupt nations, Israel and Judah, And wherein, you know, he gives Jeremiah a job, and the job was to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, also to build and to plant. That means God is continuing with his people, though their sins described in Hosea, their sins described in Jeremiah in that third chapter, wherein he says, you know, in the sixth verse of the third chapter, the Lord said unto me, in the days of Josiah the king, that's the king of Judah, hast thou not seen that which backsliding Israel has done? She's gone up upon every high mountain under every green tree, and there played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And when I saw, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, hammered in the book of Hosea, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not and went and played the harlot also. And the 12th verse says, go and proclaim these toward the north. That's the northern kingdom. That's house of Israel. And say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Here's a promise that of God that I truly do strive for. God speaking, and he says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Look, there is no structure to the method that I'm going through in this series. But what I am continuing to point out are the promises of God to the descendants of Abraham, whom God saw all the way down in Egypt as two different people, not just when the kingdom split after the death of Solomon, but all the way back in Egypt, he saw them as two people. I want to go today to the 89th Psalm. It says, Mishgal of Ethan, the Ezrahite. Now, it was interesting as I was studying this and using a few references to study. One commentary called him a descendant, defined his word Ezrahite, Ezrahite, as being a son of Sirach. Another one described it as being a son of Isirach. Can't find either of those words in the scripture. He is a son of Zara. And I don't have time to go into all the details of that, but it is, remember the name, it is part of the story. When they looked in the kingdom to compare Solomon's wisdom, the only ones they could name were sons of Zara, a very mysterious figure and family in scripture that we will get around to describing. But for today's teaching, you know, you should correct in your Bible, Ethan, the Zaraite, son of Zara. And he was wise. And I'm going to I'm going to stay in this today. And this son of Zara starts out saying, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known. Again, we're attempting to produce knowledge of God. I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. The Hebrew word is ametz, and it's a derivative of the Hebrew word amen. It means to fortify, to be steadfastly minded. God forgets not one jot or tittle of his promises, and he is faithful. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made, God speaking, a covenant, berit, with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Hang in here with me. Isaiah 54 uses the same word. or excuse me, Isaiah 45:4 uses the same word. It says, "For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect." Even I have called thee by thy name, I surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I have made a covenant with my chosen. For Jacob's sake, I stop here and say, if God is going to demonstrate his faithfulness for Jacob's sake, how much more his faithfulness to us for Christ's sake? Take heart, people. Take heart. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. I ask a question. In the traditional study of God's word in the church, how do they demonstrate God establishing David's seed, that is, descendants of David, and the buildup of his throne to all generations? We're still part of all generations, and I ask a question, where has God established the seed and his throne in this generation? The answer will come if you'll stay in the series. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders. O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. This word wonders in the Hebrew is pele, and we have oftentimes referred to this as a name of God, the God of impossibilities. I want to tell you that, you know, as the word declares, with God, there is nothing impossible. But God makes it awful hard for himself to, as he weaves the thread of these promises, whereby he is making known his faithfulness, he makes it awfully hard. And part of a definition of this word pele is hard for thee, a hard way to go, a hard way to understand. And in my little attempt to show off God and to show off his faithfulness, we are trying to, or we are testifying that nothing is too hard for God, and He demonstrates His faithfulness in history. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, thy pele, thy things that are too hard, thy impossibilities, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. The Hebrew word simply means of ones set apart. For who in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? And who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all that are about Him. The God is greatly to be feared. Now, you know, how many in the church have walked away trembling at awareness of the presence of God, or cause to tremble at the words of a preacher who's, you know, fire and brimstone preacher? Folks, this word in the seventh verse, translated fear, the word in the Hebrew is aratz. And it means to be awesome, to cause awe. God is greatly to be put up as awesome in the assembly of the saints, of the ones He has set apart, and to be had in reverence, yare, oft times translated also fear. I don't know what possessed some of the translators to come up with the words they did. But to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? The 11th verse says, the heavens are Thine, the earth also is Thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, Thou hast founded them. They didn't just happen out of a big bang. God established. God founded them. The 14th verse says, justice and judgment are the habitation of Thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before Thee. This word, translated justice, in the Hebrew is tzedek, righteousness, keeping of covenant, and judgment, are the habitation of thy throne, mercy and truth. Hesed, mercy, loving kindness, and truth. Amen. No doubt shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. This word, blessed, in the 15th verse, is Esher. It's the same that we have taught on over the years. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the ways of thee. Psalm 84. Blessed. That is to be envied. Is the people that know Yada. It's an intimate knowledge. I dig into this word because I want the hearers to know, to, through his word, come to faith and have this intimate relationship with God that he desires to have with his people. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. A better translation is in the light of thy presence. Jesus said, I shall be with you always, even unto the end of the earth. They shall walk in the light of thy presence. In thy name they shall rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness, thy covenant keeping, shall they be exalted. Because the promise of God is in Ephesians 2 that in the ages to come, God is going to show off his mighty power through them who are trusting him. For you are the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. In thy hesed, it would say, for in thy pleasure. It gives the Lord pleasure to exalt our horn. The word really means power. But it's by God's pleasure. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel, our King. Then thou speakest in a vision to thine Holy One, and said, I have laid up help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of my people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, and mine arm shall strengthen him. Shall make him of good courage. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his power be exalted. Now, we already read in the fourth verse, speaking of David, that his seed would be established forever and that his throne would be established forever. That is his power. I will set his hand also in the sea. And in the Hebrew, because it's a picture language, it's not... Well, let me tell you what it is. It can be ambiguous. They're not wrong, the translators, when they say, set his hand also in the sea. But included in that Hebrew word means, I will set his hand also in the west, and he shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also the strength. Salvation, and we've said it before, we'll continue to say it, it is of God. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forever. My covenant shall stand fast with him. These words, stand fast in the Hebrew, you know what the word is? Amen. His seed will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. That's an unconditional promise. Read on. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. God knows how to make corrections, but he said he would make his seed endure forever and his throne as the days of heaven. God knows how to punish. I'm caught here with a thought this week where many were outraged at a statement of the Pope about the acceptability of spanking in the hope of correcting children. I could say here, God knows how to spank us, but he doesn't kill us, because he's made promises which he said are forever. We've read about the unfaithfulness of God's children in Hosea, in Jeremiah, and there are a myriad of other places. But he's not wiped them out. He's not wiped us out. He goes on to say, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. God hasn't spoken in falsehood. He has not lied to us. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah, think of that. I'm looking outside right now, and the sun is up. And this last week, as I saw it, the moon was very bright. The sun's still up, the moon's still coming up at night. That means that not only David's throne must continue to endure, but his seed upon the throne must continue to endure. Where is that seed? Where is that throne? You know, if you're not, if you've not been with us for a while, you know, we teach for one purpose, and that's to show God's in control, that until God makes a new sun and a new earth and a new moon, as long as these are established, it says his throne will be established in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. I had one of our congregation write me a note saying, you know, Don, I'm enjoying this. I hope we go beyond Promise 84, because we went through a series before where we established or pointed out 84 different promises of God to his birthright people. 1 Chronicles 5, 1, as we said last week, you know, that the scepter shall not depart, or it says 1 Chronicles 5:2, for Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, that is, excuse me, the kingly line, but the birthright was Joseph's, the birthright being all the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which the church seems to refuse to distinguish between Judah and the birthright people, thinking that all Judah was the birthright people, when God's word makes it very clear, he makes a distinction. But this one wrote, I hope you go beyond promise 84. Well, this was not in the numbered of the promises. If you want to put a number on this one, go to Jeremiah 31, the 35th verse. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divides the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, 37th verse. If the heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth be searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. As much as science has attempted to search out and measure the universe, they haven't come to the end of it yet, in spite of the claims some have made, nor have they searched out the foundations of the earth beneath, the oceans of the world have never been fully mapped out. The result of that is, that statement is, that God has not cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done. His mercy, his covenant keeping, his loving kindness, his grace, continues even to today. And shall be forever. We will, with God's hope, continue in this series and bring answers that can be demonstrated in history as as to where God has done all these things that he promised to his birthright people. And to add confidence, the faith of those, as we said before, if he would do this for Jacob's sake, how much more, folks, for Christ's sake, will he do it for you and for me? God is faithful. Continue on in this trusting relationship you are having with him, because he is having it with you. And that's the God School for today.